This is Reuven Levy. We're learning together the book Gan HaShalom, the God of Peace, by Rav Shalom Arush Shlita, a guide to a happy and successful marriage, a guide to having angels fly around your home, looking after you, looking after everyone in your home, with the Shekhinah, the godly presence that comes along with Shalom Bayit. Okay, we're on page 187 in the Hebrew version of the book. We're learning that a person who is ungrateful, who does not appreciate the kindnesses that other people do for him, and in our case we're talking particularly about the kindnesses that a wife does for the husband, a person who does not appreciate it, he is very much off track. And is in fact denying not only the good that the person does to him, but he's also denying Hashem. Because Hashem is sending him the good through his wife. The person who doesn't see that his wife is doing so many kindnesses for him doesn't realize that actually Hashem is the one who's doing so many kindnesses for him. Hashem is using his wife as a shaliach for such good things. So, about this person, Rav Shalom writes, Adam Kazer, a person like this, who calls man be Yeyush, he's always in Yeyush, in despair. Ki Hashem lo noten lo man shewatzeh, because Hashem doesn't give him what he wants. Like the person who doesn't see the kindnesses that happen to him is very short-tempered and is always unhappy with what he has. He doesn't appreciate kindnesses. Person who doesn't appreciate kindnesses, the reason he doesn't appreciate it is because he thinks it, he expects it, like he deserves it. So, a person who has an attitude that he deserves everything, so then he gets very upset when things don't go his right way. So because he gets upset when things don't go the way he wants them to go, so he's always in despair, because things don't go the way we want. He is sad. He's upset because he thinks that Hashem is obligated to him. And the moment that something doesn't go the way he wants, he gets very annoyed. Because Hashem is obligated to me. Why is Hashem doing this to me? He should make my life wonderful, and he's not. And this is the way that it goes. If this person would realize that he doesn't deserve anything, he would say, Todah, he would say thank you, on the things that do go his way. And he wouldn't get upset on the things that don't go his way. And this is called humility. And it turns out that the midah of humility, the trait of humility, which is the root of all good traits, taluya rak ba'avodat shebabayit, depends only on work in the home. Right? That's a big statement. The main midah of humility, the big one, the biggie, which is the root of all of the good midot, that depends, Rav Shalom says, only on the husband's work in the home, the effort he puts in. And this is the same way for all the good midot. You can't fix them except through Shalom Bayit. Shalom Bayit is the means through which to fix all of the midot. Psh! Who knew that? That's a big statement. Person cannot fix any midot except through Shalom Bayit. You want to fix anger? Only through fixing it in Shalom Bayit. You want to fix laziness? Only through Shalom Bayit. You want to fix arrogance? Only through Shalom Bayit. how a person is at home is how he's actually doing in reality. If you think you fix something outside of home, let's say a person is arrogant, and he knows that when he comes to yeshiva, he likes to tell everybody the answers to all the questions, and he's got a big opinion about every piece of Gemara. I know what this Gemara is telling me, I'm right. And he goes on telling everybody exactly how to learn the Gemara correctly, because he's full of arrogance. If he thinks he's fixed that, because he's been working on himself, Baruch Hashem, and I realized I went to the field and I saw that that's not good. So every day in yeshiva, I try to keep my mouth shut. I try not to say anything. I try to keep it in. I don't tell anyone anything anymore. And I'm very good. I've worked on that and I've cleaned myself up. If I did that only in the yeshiva, and I didn't work on it at home, then the truth is, I didn't fix it. Even if now in yeshiva I'm a perfect student, I don't tell no one nothing, I don't butt in with my own opinions, I don't do it in. If I didn't work on it in the home, through my shalom bayit, I didn't actually achieve it. It's just, it's good, it's useful, but it's not true. It's not, I didn't clean out the shorash. The root of all midot, Rab Hanan. Did you know this? I can still tell you that. The root of all midot to fix every single midah can only be fixed, only through shalom bayit. If you try and fix any of your midot not through shalom bayit, you haven't fixed them. You haven't fixed them. Only in the home is where you fix all of the midot. That's an amazing thing. Something I never knew. Tov. Venimsa. Amen. Venimsa, Shekol Avodat Hashem.
Supposed to be chapter 6.
7, believe I think. Tov. Maybe in the English version it would be different. Maybe switch. No. We're in the one talking about prayer.
House of prayer.
House of prayer.
Seventh house of prayer.
Shmona. Sorry, when 8. Haderech lebayit hamushar, the way to a
happy home.
Happy home.
Followed by 9, a greatest peace. And 10, a true test. 11, a man of valor. And 12, got in.
Can we test you on this book like we can test Rabbi Yeshua Cohen on Gemara? I hope so.
I might know, but I have to practice.
Start with knowing it, and then we'll get to practicing it. But knowing it is a good start. What question?
Doing it.
A little bit harder, but.
Let me see if I have to set meals before this starts. So the buffering, sorry.
No problem. Okay, so what are we saying? We're saying, Nimsa Shekol Avodat Hashem. Turns out that all of the work in serving Hashem. Matchila ba'avodah shel shalom bayit. It starts with working on shalom bayit. Zeh shekatavnu b'tchilat haperek, and that's what we wrote at the beginning of this section, beginning of this chapter. Shekol tachlit haolam, that the entire purpose of the world eina yochola lavo letkuna, cannot come to be rectified, ela except ayidei shalom bayit. Only through shalom bayit can the world be rectified, because only through shalom bayit can each individual person be rectified. This is why we said that the home is the test for all of the midot. Behu hamoded lahem. Ki, and it's the measure of them. Why? Ki ka'amol ha'ayol, like we said above. B'chutz ha'kol zerak ha'tzaga ha'chat gedola. Because outside the home, it's only one complete show. Sheker gamor, complete lies. Doesn't pull his punches, Rav Arash. Rak babayit ro'im mi ata. Only at home we see who you are. Nice. I have to remember this bit. Ro'im shekol ha'olam tolui b'shalom bayit. We see that the whole world depends on shalom bayit. But if Adam lo yavod al shalom bayit, if a person doesn't work on shalom bayit, ulo yachol lagia l'shum tachlit, he cannot reach any purpose, like divine purpose. And so too the world itself can't come to its purpose. Because it's the desire of Hashem to dwell amongst us. Like it's written, says in the pasuk in the Torah, and make for me a mikdash, a dwelling place, and I will dwell amongst you. It doesn't say I will dwell in it, but rather amongst you. Hashem wants Shekol by Beit Mikdash. Hashem wants that every home should be a Beit Hamikdash, pratiya, a personal, private Beit Hamikdash. Sheshama Shekhinah Shoret, that over there the Shekhinah will dwell. And then, when that happens, you can put into that home notes, just like they do in the Kotel. Instead of traveling from Haifa down to the Kotel Amarvi, to the Western Wall, just put them in the home which has Shalom Bayit. V'yasimu bo patakim. Mamash pshuto, simply like it sounds, right? He's not making a joke here. He's not making a funny. He's saying like it sounds. Why do you put patakim notes in the kotel? Because we know that the Shekhinah dwells over the kotel, right? So that's why you put a note there. So if the Shekhinah is dwelling in your own home, what you, it's a different Shekhinah. There's one Shekhinah over there. There's a Shekhinah. Why do you want to go to a different one? You've got one in your living room. Go to the one in your living room. And when you're stepping all the way to the Kotel, if you want to go daven at the Kotel. Someone says to you, where were you this morning? You say, I was davening at the Kotel. And you're the Kotel in your living room. Right? Because that's mamash. It is the Kotel. It's the same thing. No difference. Shekhinah. Therefore, it's necessary to learn very well this book. And to begin to relate to all matters of Shalom Bayit in their depth, and to understand that the entire rectification of the world depends on it. And to start to work seriously on it. End of that chapter. Baruch Hashem. Tov. That was the end of chapter 8. Importance. Shalom Bayit. The world rests upon it. The tikkun of a person and the tikkun of the world. The tikkun of the world is that Hashem can dwell here amongst us. That can only happen if there's Shalom Bayit. Otherwise, he has nowhere to dwell. Simple. And the tikkun of the individual is also dependent on Shalom Bayit. The Barish teaches us that a person can't rectify any of his bad midot unless he does it through Shalom Bayit. Because only at home it's real. Outside is a hasagan, it's a complete show. Which means that if I outside have good midot, doesn't mean I have good midot. It means that I can pretend I've got good midot. But at home, I can't pretend. At home, that's the real me. Yofi. Very nice. Tov. Chapter 9. Gadol Hashem. The greatness of peace. How great is peace? Muvaba Midrash. It's brought in a Midrash. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta says, Ein kli machazik bracha ela shalom. There is no kli, no vessel which can hold a bracha, a blessing, other than Shalom. Shalom is the name of the vessel that's going to hold the blessings. Shneimar, like it says in Tehillim, Hashem oz la'amo yitein, Hashem yivarech et amo b'shalom. Kaddish. Tov. Tov, Hashem gives strength to his people. Hashem will bless them with Shalom. Peirush ha'devarim hu, the meaning of these words is, Shirak Mishi Yeshua Shalom Bayit Yahol Atzliach Hatzlacha Shel Mamash Achayim. Only a person who has Shalom Bayit is able to succeed truly enlightened, with true success in life. Ki birkat Hashem, because the blessing of Hashem, shemimena nimshachin kol sugei hashvaot, that from it is drawn down all types of benefit, v'hatzlachot v'agashmiot harochniot, and success materially and spiritually. Klomar, for example, hen b'parnasa, whether it's parnasa, riyot, health, hinuch yaladim, educating children, harvacha v'simcha, serenity and happiness, k'yotze bazeh, and things like that. V'chen chokma, also wisdom, tevunah, understanding, hasagata Torah, understanding, achieving Torah, k'yotze, and things like that. Bracha zu yicholah likayem, this blessing can only exist, urakah yidei hakli shel shalom, only with a vessel of peace. Sharei ne'emar, like it says, ein kli machazik bracha ala shalom, the only vessel which can hold a blessing is peace. Sheperusho sherak ha-shalom yechol ha-chazik at the bracha. V'lo shum devar acher, meaning only peace can hold the bracha and nothing else. There is no other vessel. If I want to hold on to a bracha so that it lasts, can only last in the vessel called peace. It's a spiritual vessel which holds the bracha. Whatever bracha I want. Parnasah, wisdom, happiness, health. Only if I have peace. Otherwise, it's either not going to be a bracha for me, or it's not going to last. Either it's not a bracha, or it's not going to last. So I might have it. I might have very good parnasa. A lot of people who have great parnasa and they have no shalom by it. How can that be? I thought you can only get parnasa if you have peace, peace in the home. So it's not a bracha. If you want your parnasa to be a bracha, it's different. Parnasa, there's a bracha, means it doesn't damage me. Doesn't make me be arrogant. Doesn't make me get stress and pressure and etc. Parnasa can be a blessing, can be a curse. Right? The same too with other things. A person can have other things and it can lead them to arrogance. Then it's not a bracha. So if I want all these good things to be a bracha for me, wisdom can be very dangerous. If it doesn't come, if it's not held by a vessel of shalom by it, and wisdom's going to make you into make a person into an arrogant individual that argues with everyone and is not happy, and doesn't have to be a good thing. Only if I have shalom by it, then that wisdom is going to be good for me. It's going to help me in my life. It's going to give me peace. It's going to get me closer to Hashem, closer to my rabbis. If I'm so clever that I don't believe in my rabbis anymore because I think I'm more clever than them, then my wisdom is actually not helping me at all. It's actually pushing me further away. Midazu shel shalom, the trait of shalom, peace, must start at home. Shel adam ba'avodah shelo al shalom bayit, in his work on shalom bayit. The chiyasha she adam sheino mishtadel lechiyot b'shalom im ishto. And if it's possible that a person does not try to work to live in peace with his wife, because she is to her husband the most close and the most dear of all. How can you say that he lives in peace with the rest of the world? Hashem is saying that peace needs to start at the home. A person can't say they live in peace, that they have created peace, if he hasn't created peace at home. Because even though he can say that, wait a minute, I have a vessel for peace. I've got peace with my chavuta. I've got peace with my friends in yeshiva. I've got peace with, the bus driver, whoever else. So in my home, there's not peace. wonderful, but maybe outside the home, I can still have a vessel for peace. So Rav Arush says, if your wife, who is closest to you and most dear to you, you don't have peace with her, then for sure you can't have peace with anyone else. It might look like peace, but it's not real peace. Yeshna ke'ele, there are those, she'yitanu she'ken, hem chayim v'shalom in kulam, there are those people who would claim otherwise, that they have peace, they live in peace with everyone else, with everyone. But right b'bayit, and only at home, matzchilot habayot, that's where the problems are. V'yitachen, she'af yitanu ta'na hapucha, and therefore, even though they would claim the opposite, she'me'acha she'bachutz hem bistadrim, in Kulam, that since outside the home they get on with everyone, siman shabaya hi etzalisha, they would claim that that is a proof for the fact that the problem is really with the wife, behimakor lo kol hakatatok b'bayit, and she is the source of all the problems. This person would claim that, you see, I get on with everyone, it's only at home that I don't get on with my wife, so it's obviously that it's her problem. I'm great because it's clear everybody else gets on with me fine. Only at home, my wife's the only one with a problem with me. So it's obvious, says this person, that she's the one with the problem. Everybody else loves me. One person in the world doesn't love me. Obviously, the problem is with her, it's not with me. That, of course, is wrong. Adam shomer kach, sarek sheyida. Person who says this needs to know, sha'uvda shehu chai b'shalom, that the proof that he lives a life of peace, iman hashim, sorry, with other people, with other people, the imishto lo, and but with his wife not, zemara sheyesh lo pegam gadol mod, this shows that he's got a big blemish, big pegam. Haim ze min hayosher sheim anashim zarim, is it something straight that he can be with other people at peace, sheinam osim bishvilo achat me'elef hatavot, these are the people, these foreign strangers that he has peace with, that don't do for him even one in a thousand of the good things that his wife does for him. Itam huminahegev b'derkos, with those people he acts politely, with respect, with patience, with yielding, with tshumat lev, with attention, with a smile, with attention, etc., etc. Because all of these are traits which a person for sure needs to have in order to live in peace with other people. So if he has all those other traits, and with the person that's closest to him, that does good for him all the time, and towards whom he has the greatest obligation, lichyotimo b'shalom, to live with that person in peace. Davka ito, who einocha b'shalom. Davka, you want to tell me that with that person he doesn't have peace? Can't be true. A person who claims to have peace with the rest of the world and not peace with his wife, and says that that's proof that his wife has the problem and not him. Mavar says no.
I think it'd be good to reread that first character study in the beginning about the Rav who is, you know, head of a community and has everything else, and then dies, and these stormtrooper angels drag him up to the heavenly court and say, "New?"
Right, you missed everything. Because outside is a hatzaga, it's a show. It's done for my own good. Only in home is where is the real me, where it really shows. Right, so a person can't claim that he is kind and forgiving and attentive and gives respect to all these strangers who he doesn't know anything to, who do nothing for him. And yet his wife, who is so kind to him, gives him kindnesses all day long, with her, he doesn't act that way. You don't need to be a prophet, or bow ruach hakodesh, or to have ruach hakodesh, b'shvil ladat b'beirur, to know very clearly, she'adam zeh eino makshiv l'ishto, that this person who claims what we just said, Enomak Shibli Shto, he doesn't pay attention to his wife. Enomak Abedota, he does not give her respect. Enlo Sablanut, the Talu Notchala, he has no patience for her complaints. Who Enomak Samechota, and he doesn't make her happy. Enomak Rifaleha Ava, he doesn't pour love onto her. Bechiochim, and smiles, Kamoshin or Hegbachuts, like he does outside. All of this he does outside. Right? It's amazing how much patience the person can have. If his chavruta comes to him and says, oh, I'm having a really bad day. You know what? On the way here, I missed the bus, and then I lost some money. And you listen to your chavruta, very attentive. Yeah, you're right, you're okay, everything's good. I mean, you're fine. Oh, I want to try and give him words of encouragement. Right? And the wife comes with the same story, and you ignore her. I don't give the same attention to my wife that I give to these people outside. Why not? It shows that it's not true. It shows that it's not really in me. It shows that it's a big show. What I do outside is because I want people to think I'm a good person. I want people to think that I'm kind. I want people to think that I'm patient. That I listen to them. I'm doing it for show. I'm doing it because I want them to think good things about me. But at home, where I don't care, so I don't care. I don't even try, because the truth is I don't care. The truth is I don't care about my chavruta either. I'm just smiling and being nice and saying good things. But I haven't actually got those traits that I'm pretending to have. I'm not such a kind, attentive person that's listening to every word and, oh really, oh we should be fine, right? Because it's really hurting me inside. No. I'm just it's not real. How do I know? Because I don't do it at home. If my wife came to me with the same exact story, I wouldn't give her the same attention. I wouldn't give her the same encouragement. So it shows it's not real. So I don't do it for my wife, who's the closest to me, and who I've got the most obligation towards, and who does kindnesses for me all day long. If I don't give her that attention and that love and that care, it shows it's not real. I don't have it yet. Shows that I need to work on it. That it's just that if I think that I've had it, if I think that that's me, because that's the way I act to my chavruta, that's the way I act to all my friends in yeshiva. I'm so kind to them, I listen to them, and I help them, and I do that. I can fool myself and think that I actually have all these great midot. I'm a baal midot tovot. I've got great midot. But the truth is, I haven't actually acquired all those good traits yet, if I'm not yet doing them at home. Only if I'm doing those same things at home, then it means it's true. And if I'm not doing it at home, it's not yet true. I'm lying to myself. And I don't want to get upstairs at the end of 120 and realize that actually, I thought I was great. Did you see me? Like, you know, when they show me the film, rewind that bit to when my chavruta came to me in yeshiva and told me I had a bad day. I was great. Look on the film there, there's me, and there's me comforting him and hugging him and telling him everything is okay. And look! And they go, that was shtiyot, you just made all that up.
And they'll show you what happened with your wife.
Your wife in exactly the same situation that you cried about, and there were you.
And she's crying for half an hour afterwards.
You're texting someone, right? I'm not paying it, right? Because it's not real. It's not real. It's very scary. We can fool ourselves so much. Only in Shalom Bayit. Only in the home. And only if we have Shalom Bayit. Meaning, even if a person acts that way in the home, right? The person, his wife comes, right? I now hear this shiur. And I come here and think, oh my gosh, I'm treating my chavruta nicer than I'm treating my wife. I can't believe it. Gosh, you're right. Psh, thank you for the wake-up call, Hashem. Baruch Hashem, thank you for waking me up. So I now go home. My wife says, you don't know what a day I had. And I go, oh, really? Oh, are you okay? Is everything good? Don't worry, let me make you some tea. Everything's good, right? And I smile to myself, pat myself on the back, and go, psh, Baruch Hashem, I did it at home too. Everything's good. But it's not, because I just made that up. Right, I haven't got Shalom Bayit. If I've got Shalom Bayit, real Shalom Bayit, then it's true that Hashem said, you know what, you're right, you're there. But if my wife still gets upset, she's not comforted, she's not happy, it means that I actually haven't yet got that. I'm making a good start. I'm realizing that I need to do more practical effort. You're right, I should do more practical effort. I should pay more attention. Right? But I haven't yet acquired that as a real trait, a real part of me. Only from prayer, right? Realizing that this is not me. Realizing, admitting the truth. Going to the field and saying, Hashem, my wife is telling me all of these things about her bade, and I'm really not interested. I'm nodding and I'm smiling and I'm being polite. I'm offering a complete, but the truth is, Hashem, I don't care. Doesn't interest me at all. I don't care about what day she had. That really doesn't bother me. In fact, I don't care. I actually don't want to hear it. I've heard it all before. I've heard it again. Why is she telling me the same thing again? Only then I can admit to Hashem, actually, Hashem, I don't have this trait of patience. I don't have this trait of caring. I don't have it yet, Hashem. And I need you to give it to me. I need to pray on it. Hashem wants me to see, to realize that I haven't got it. He wants to show me that I haven't got it. And I'm not meant to beat myself up. I haven't got it. You didn't give it to me yet. The reason I haven't got it, because you didn't give it to me yet. That's it. Simple. I have to beat myself up and say, what a bad person I am. I don't care about my wife. No. I'm not created with a caring butter that's built in and it should be all complete. And somehow I managed to defect my caring. I managed to wreck myself up. No, I never had it. You never put it in me yet. Why? Because I didn't yet pray on it. Now you've woken me up to show me that I haven't yet got that trait. So now I can pray on it, and now I can get it. It's very simple. No one needs to be beating each other up, blaming anyone. It's not his fault, it's not my fault, it's not your fault. That's the reality. Shem has just shown me reality. The reality is recognizing what I need, what I'm lacking, and asking for it. I'm actually lacking a lot. And my goal, my job, my Mesirut Nefesh, is only to admit what the truth. Admit the truth is, I have still very bad character traits, Hashem. And I'm still lacking in a lot of good character traits. Don't have them. And if I can admit that, the more I can admit it, the more I can ask Him to give it to me. The more He can give it to me. But until I admit it and ask for it, so He can't give it. I'd love to give it to you, just ask. 120 years, I'm waiting to give you a heart that you care. And you didn't ask me. What do you want? Hashem's like, no. Just ask me. Come to me and say, Hashem, I'm selfish. I care only about myself. And I don't care about anyone else. Help. Now we can work. Now we've got something to work on. Now we've got a dialogue. Now we can move. But if you never came to ask me, because you were never prepared to admit it. So for sure you stayed how you were. You stayed a selfish person for 120 years. Because you wouldn't admit to yourself that you're selfish. So what do you want me to do? I'm waiting every single day for you to come to me and say, I've realized I'm selfish. Hashem, you've got to help me here. And that's fine. That's all I need to do. That's my job. My job is simply to recognize it and admit it. Can't fix it. And it's not my fault that I haven't yet got it fixed. It's not mine to fix. It's His to fix. My job is to ask. That's all my job is. No one's going to blame me for the fact that I was selfish and I didn't care about anyone else. That's how you created me. So no one's going to blame me on that. That's the starting blocks. No one's going to blame me because I don't have blonde hair. Right? That's the way you created me. Right? That's just a given fact. So it's not my fault that I'm selfish. Mamash, it's not my fault. It's how you created me. What is my fault? The fact that I wasn't prepared to admit it and ask for help. Now that I have that I'm going to have to answer for. Because I could have changed it. I could have asked Hashem to help me. Tov, time to go. Ezrat Hashem, we'll continue a bit more next week after the Shabbat Kodesh.